Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Senator Dianne Feinstein's political career began more than five decades ago as a San Francisco County Supervisor back in 1969, the first step in what would become a trailblazing career in California and national politics. The native San Franciscan would eventually become not only the first woman from California elected to the Senate, but after three decades in the Senate, she is now California's longest-serving senator and the longest-serving woman senator in U.S. history. Yesterday, we learned her storied career will come to a close in 2024, officially announcing she will not seek re-election. A moment that wasn't necessarily unexpected. Pressure began to build as two Democratic colleagues launched Senate campaigns for her seat. But her legacy in California and Washington, D.C. is profound. A political powerhouse who was instrumental in passing legislation on gun control, gay rights, environmental protections, and restricting the CIA's use of torture. But in recent years, that influence had begun to wane. Joining us now on Senator Feinstein's decision and what the rest of her term could look like, as well as the senator's legacy, is Shira Stein, Washington correspondent at the San Francisco Chronicle. Good morning, Shira.
Good morning, Vicky.
So this was expected, an announcement one way or the other. What was your initial reaction to yesterday's announcement?
Yeah, it was not one of surprise. We've sort of been expecting, waiting for this to come for the last few months. But I think it was really, more than anything, I think it was just that getting used to the idea that California will no longer have her as a senator. Folks like myself who grew up in the state have had her as our senator for quite a long time. And so I think it's going to be a really big change for the state to no longer have her representing them anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you're currently in D.C., but you're a Bay Area native. What impressions do you think Feinstein and her political rise over the decades have on you as you grew up in the Bay Area?
Yeah, I mean, just thinking about all of the great women politicians that have come out of the Bay Area, they're starting to retire. They're starting to leave politics. Jackie Speier retired at the end of last year. Representative Nancy Pelosi stepped down as speaker at the end of last year. Dianne Feinstein's now retiring. So I think it's sort of a massive changing of the guard that we could be seeing in California and especially Bay Area politics in the next few years.
What has been the reaction in D.C. so far to the announcement?
I think everyone kind of knew this was coming. There's stories and questions about her mental status has plagued her in the last couple of years. Reporting by some of my colleagues a year ago really reignited that. But I think folks were, talking about the history that she's made and really focused on what her legacy will be with the policies that she managed to get accomplished will be.
Yeah, and that came when it came to, questions or concerns surrounding her mental fitness came up again yesterday. I mean, a reporter with the National Journal posted audio on Twitter of a press gaggle following the senator's statement that was released to the press. And a reporter was asking for a response about Senator Feinstein not seeking re-election in 2024. But it appeared that the senator was unaware that the statement was released. A staffer had to correct her at the press gaggle that, in fact, she did release a statement. So based on that audio recording, it sounded as if Senator Feinstein was unaware of her decision not to seek re-election, that it was made public, at least. What can you tell us about that interaction?
Yeah, I think at least that it was made public, if you want to give a generous interpretation of it. There have been a couple of these sort of instances in recent months of reporters asking her questions in the hallway, as reporters tend to do here in Washington, and her response maybe being misinterpreted would also be a generous way to phrase it. Back just about a month ago, she was asked about when she would make the decision, and there was some confusion about when she said that it was going to be in the winter, and her staff said no, she was speaking about the timing of her election, not her announcement. So there's just been a lot of these sorts of instances in the last year or two, and I think that doesn't help.
I mean, obviously, the senator has been heralded as a pioneer and one of the most influential politicians in state history. But your article yesterday also touched upon how Feinstein's political influence, once substantial, has faded in recent years. Can you tell us more about how the longest tenured female senator in the country's history is lost or seemingly lost political influence in the Senate, which historically grants more influence to its most senior members?
Yeah, and I'm not necessarily that she like she, yes, she has lost it, but also she has chosen to step back. She made the decision to step down as chairwoman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, a very, very powerful committee. She also made the decision at the beginning of this year not to take the number three position in line to the presidency. Traditionally, the longest serving member of the majority party in the Senate takes this position, the Senate pro tem, and that puts them in line for the presidency, number three behind the vice president and the speaker of the house. And she decided not to take that position. Instead, it went to Senator Patty Murray of Washington, who was elected the same year, the year of the woman in 1992, as Senator Feinstein.
Personally, there's been a huge shift in the senator's life following the passing of her husband. Do you think that played a role into this decision?
I think absolutely. I mean, she has survived a lot of tragedy in her life. This is the second of her husband that she's lost to cancer. And so I can't imagine at her age, she's 89, she'll be 91 on election day, that didn't play a factor into it.
Well, in the statement that was released yesterday, Feinstein said that she intends to accomplish as much as for California that she can before her term ends at the end of next year in 2024. What do you think will be some of her top priorities?
Yeah, and I've actually already been talking to her staff about this. Wildfires is a huge one. Obviously, it affects the entire state, north and south. And so that's going to be a huge priority for her. She's been a huge advocate on water issues and droughts. And there's some issues with the Colorado River right now that she'll be focusing on. And the last one, and this is actually what I'm working on today, is her efforts on gun violence prevention. Obviously, she became mayor of San Francisco after the assassination of Mayor George Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk. And so that experience and many other experiences with guns have led her to be one of the foremost members of Congress and especially of the Senate on gun violence prevention. So that's definitely going to be something that she's at least going to try to attempt to succeed on.
Well, now California has an opening in what really is a once in a lifetime seat, especially in a political career. And before this announcement, you had two Democrats, Representatives Adam Schiff and Katie Porter, both in Southern California. They launched campaigns for her Senate seat. How does this announcement impact the race now? Does it light a fire under it?
I think that's definitely the case. I think there was definitely some surprise that folks decided to start running before she had even announced her decision. I think that also maybe prompted her announcement to come a little bit sooner. But we're expecting to see Representative Barbara Lee from Oakland to also enter the race, and I think she was maybe waiting for the senator to make her announcement, a way to show some deference. But yes, campaign fundraising, endorsements, all of that are definitely going to ramp up now that Senator Feinstein is officially retiring.
Do you see any candidates outside of the Democratic Party throwing their hat into the race, whether Republican or another party?
Yeah, my colleagues and I have been discussing this. So far, not really. I mean, I'm sure there will be a Republican candidate, but there's nobody who is really at the forefront at this point. And it would be pretty difficult for a Republican to even make it to the general election. As most of our listeners probably know, California, the way the system works is it's the top two vote getters in the primary who proceed to the general. It's not a Democrat or Republican. So I think it's very, very likely we'll see two Democrats, two House members, going up against each other in the general.
What kind of weight do you think Senator Feinstein's endorsement will have on this race?
I think it will have less than it would have had maybe a decade ago. I think it matters, but I think endorsements in general, they matter for fundraising, they matter for donors. I don't know that they matter as much for voters. I mean, especially her polling has slipped a lot in recent years. Voters in California are not as happy as with her performance as they were when they reelected her in 2018. So I think it's not going to have a huge impact on voters, but it'll definitely help folks fundraise. And that's going to be a huge issue in such an expensive media state as California is.
Yeah. Her colleague in the Senate, California Senator Alex Padilla, released a statement as well yesterday saying that you really can't tell the story of California politics or American politics without the trailblazing career of Dianne Feinstein. When you look back at her 3-decade career in the Senate, what stands out to you?
I think her work on gun violence, like, is unparalleled. But there's this clip going around on Twitter right now, a C-SPAN clip of a male senator in 1993 talking about how she doesn't know anything about guns, and, you know, basically saying that she doesn't know what she's talking about. She's like, well, I know guns. I stuck my finger in a bullet hole. And it's just, I think those are the kind of moments that folks will really remember about Senator Feinstein. She did sort of a similar thing in 2013 with Republican Senator Ted Cruz. So I think she will definitely be remembered for her career as being a trailblazer, as being sort of one of the first women to really blaze a path for people, for lawmakers in the Senate, and for women in politics in general.
Outside of the Senate, what do you think Feinstein's legacy will be in California politics? Because it goes back more than 50 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really just the impact on women. It's also like her leaving will also open up room for the next generation. There's a lot of, you know, as these representatives from the House are running for her seat, that opens up those seats, and that opens up further down ballot races. So I think we're going to see a new generation of politicians entering California politics. And I think it's going to be really exciting to watch. You know, she's been in this seat for such a long time, and that really does impact everybody down ballot as well.
Yeah, the Chronicle has a podcast called Fifth and Mission, and they're going to be releasing an episode today on Senator Feinstein with archival clips. What can you share with us about that episode? I mean, there must be so many to go through.
Oh my gosh, I was just listening. This great interview that my colleague did in 2018 with Senator Feinstein, they went down to the archives of the Chronicle and looked at photos from her life and, you know, talking about her childhood. And what surprised me, the time that she owned and carried around a gun for a time after the bomb that was placed at her home and some other attacks that happened on her and her family. So there are just, she has an interesting life, her talking about the assassination that led her to become mayor. So I think it's definitely worth a listen.
Yeah. And perhaps a new biography as well. I mean, I was looking at a biography into the senator, and I think one I could find was like back in the 90s, but it's been decades since. So I think that's probably in the works as well. You know, this is just the beginning of a political journey with campaigns. We have 2024 just around the corner. What are you going to be watching in this story as you continue your reporting in D.C.?
I think I'm really going to be watching, you know, she's going to have the next 2 years before she leaves. What are the last things that she wants to accomplish? What are the issues that she really wants to make a push for here at the end? And then the campaign, it's really going to be interesting to see how progressive are California voters really. We have two members of the House Progressive Caucus who are running, or going to be running. And then Representative Adam Schiff, who says he's a progressive, but folks typically see him as a little bit more centrist, a little bit more establishment. Also, the fact that California could end up having two male senators for the first time since 1991, right? That would be huge. I mean, it was just amazing. So I think there's going to be the race is really going to be something that I'm keeping a close eye on. Also, the Northern versus Southern California dichotomy. Senator Alex Padilla is from Southern California, and two of the three expected candidates in the race are also from Southern California. So again, we could see the first time in quite a while where both senators are from Southern California and not the Bay.
Shira, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much.
Shira Stein is a Washington correspondent at the San Francisco Chronicle, sharing her reporting on Senator Dianne Feinstein's decision to not seek re-election next year. Up next, California's birth rate has declined to a level not seen in more than a century. We'll take a closer look at why people are delaying children or just nixing it altogether, and the consequences, both good and problematic, to society. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.